When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hold on, we're going to start over again.
I
don't know what was going on. I hit the wrong button. Here we go. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Ears up, in depth. We're back in the studio here. We got a bunch of Disney news to cover. You know, once again, the Disney news gods were a little... We're not as giving as they normally are, Jeremy. And I don't know about you, but I had a hard time trying to find some quality news to go through, but what I did find is entirely too much clickbait. So for the first time in a long time, we are going to have another segment of This Week in Clickbait News, because there's kind of a lot, and I'm disappointed in humanity for this happening.
I think that the amount of clickbait you see is directly correlated to the lack of Disney news, because they have nothing to do, so they have to... You know, there's something real to report on. We had a huge week last time when we did the Destination D wrap-up. But now, you know, obviously there's not going to be news just hitting us like that every single week. Although I do have something to follow up on, and it's kind of interesting. And then there's some other helpful stuff that I'm going to talk about. But I think that you can see an increase in the clickbait, because they have nothing going on, but they've got to keep those clicks coming in. So they get more and more ridiculous.
They really do. And you know what sort of was the catalyst for me is, like any good journalist, right? Any journalist worth its worth his weight in salt, or, you know, fecal matter, whatever it is. You have Google alerts for different things. I have Google alerts for Disneyland and Walt Disney World and Disney News and whatever, right? Walt Disney Company. And I was going through my alerts getting ready for the show, and I don't know, 4 out of 5 of them were Inside the Magic and Disney Dining, over and over and over and over, just with the most bombastic, the most outlandish headlines. And I actually just unsubscribed to my friggin' alerts. It's like, I can't, if this is the quality of article that I'm going to get, it's now just spam. They have rendered a useful tool spam. There's nothing. It's those things, and then it's WDWNT going, oh, here's the fourth pin being released. And, you know, it's like, I don't care. I just don't care.
There's a new Loungefly backpack available.
Yeah, great. I love a cheap backpack.
I mean, ultimately, isn't that Google's fault? You're supposed to be able to filter out what's relevant and what's not relevant.
Probably.
They're spamming us with stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I noticed it today also, because, you know, obviously on the days that we do a show, I sort of look through the news on the web to see what's happening. And I don't have alerts. I just look. But when you Google Disney World or anything, like, all of the research results are just, as you said, those two sites. And I was wondering, like, why isn't Google giving me the option to filter out certain sources?
Like, I would appreciate,
why is there not a powerful filter? This is Google. They can make AI, but they can't make me. Like, you can barely even sort by relevance or, like, by date posted. It's terrible. These are supposed to be like these geniuses over there. I'm not convinced that, you know what they are. The programmers at Google are the Imagineers of search engines.
Whoa, because big fact.
They can't do it. They're not doing it.
Yeah.
How about that?
I look, man, I would agree with you. You know what? It got so bad that I envisioned a section on our website, or even a brand new Twitter feed, or just using our Twitter feed as just straight Disney news Twitter feed. Like, I don't think, because it was okay. Here are the, if you didn't know anything about what was going on, here are the 5 stories, the 5 topics. Okay. It's either clickbait news, new products, Ariana Grande being at Disneyland with her boyfriend. Kim Kardashian being at Disneyland with her husband and she's pregnant, hiding her bump, or some, you know, maybe slightly legitimate, like, hey, this is a cool thing that I found or whatever. Like, that's it. It's just, it's celebrities that nobody, that I don't personally care about. And I don't want to hear them again. I don't want to think about them. I don't care. To me, that is not news about the Disney parks. So I don't know. I thought about just every day, because I mean, I look at the news every day. Might as well just do that. And you throw out a couple of tweets like, here's some actual like news about Disneyland if you're looking. So that way you don't have to run into this faff. It's garbage.
It's a total faff.
Yeah. Anyway, we're starting off on a great note, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Already you're doing it, man. And I can't help it. It's one of those things. I do have some fun news though. I don't know. Should I start out with, God, I basically have three. I basically have two. I basically have two clickbait stories and then one piece of fun news. Cause there's nothing going on.
Hit me with the clickbait because I'm so frustrated from reading and avoiding clicking on it all day.
All right.
That I'm excited for you to take it down and give me what for.
Let's do it.
The week that was in clickbait news.
It's just a professional sting I made, and it was pretty good. Yeah. All right, here we go, Jeremy. This one, most of these, actually all of these are from Inside the Magic. Who am I kidding? Kidnapping attempted at Disneyland.
Oh, I didn't hear this one.
Yeah. And this all stemmed from a Reddit post. Here's the Reddit post. Okay. Quote, saw two grown men chase a woman and tried to yank her stroller out of her hands with child still in it because she accidentally bumped into their family member when they were blocking a covered walkway because they were afraid of getting wet in the rain. Your entire rude family refused to move out of a walkway and then you got pissed because she didn't have enough room to move around you. So your solution is to try and kidnap her child? I have no idea what they were trying to accomplish there because they were all well aware that there was a child in the stroller. It was an umbrella stroller, so no blocked sight.
Well,
so I found this Reddit post. It's in the Disneyland subreddit. I found it and I found this comment and I saw it had one upvote. So inside the mat, and clearly this person is not specifically literally saying a child was trying to be kidnapped. There was not a kidnapping attempt being made. If you read the post, it's clearly just, you know, they're just exaggerating, right? You try
they're
to kidnap
speaking
a child.
Extemporaneously. It's not. Yeah.
I mean, I guess technically this is the thing with Inside the Magic. Technically, I think you can classify that as like kidnapping or whatever, right? In a law enforcement thing, if you're pressing charges in the court of law. But if you just try to move someone's stroller you're not kidnapping a child. So I wrote, I was like, hey, just so you know, this is now a news article from Inside the Magic. And I know you didn't really literally mean they were trying to kidnap someone, but that's what they did. And they're like, oh my God, dude, these people have nothing better to do than troll this yeah. subreddit and then find just garbage. But one upvote, I'm surprised it was even reported on. But yeah, that's Inside the Magic. So if you see any headline that says there's a kidnapping attempt or whatever, no, there was not. There was no such kidnapping attempted.
Do you think that they're getting desperate? Is that what's happening? Because they seem to be dialing it up. So I actually hope that that is a symptom of their desperation. Like maybe things aren't going so well. Maybe this model is starting to fail. And so they're just digging in and they're like, well, just ramp it up, take it up a notch, shock these people. Because normally I never fall for these articles. And I actually did click on one today because I was like, oh,
of course you did. You have to every once in a while. You got to do it.
But then as soon as I clicked, I'm like, you know what? And I was like, I've been fooled. It actually seemed like it could be something. And then I got in there. First of all, I had to scroll and I got the history of the parks. It was like Animal Kingdom is a place that the Yeti had. And I was like, what does this have to do with the thing that you're telling me about? And then by then I forgot. And I was like, I'm out. I am out of here. And then I was like, I will not be fooled by this again. I have been fooled.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yes.
Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me 9,000 times.
Not going to get fooled again. Here's another one you might have seen from Inside the Magic. This is their headline. Disneyland attraction quietly canceled closing next month. Disneyland attraction quietly canceled, closing next month. What do you think that could possibly be? Quietly canceled. An attraction canceled.
I'm trying to think, like, what normal thing is happening that they could turn, like, what could be twisted and turned and be interpreted like that?
Yeah, because while you're thinking about it, to me, it's very evocative of cancel culture, you know, Splash Mountain kind of thing. So it's almost like the people who are hungry for this stuff go, oh my God, what's next? Something else is being canceled. You know what I mean?
Read the whole thing again to me.
Disneyland attraction quietly canceled, closing next month.
This is something, this is like some event that was going to be closing anyway.
This is talking about the Magic Happens Parade, which so far is only scheduled through October 15th.
Oh my God, but it runs seasonally.
It's quietly canceled. It's canceled. It's being canceled. It's not that it's coming up the end of its scheduled run. It's being canceled, Jeremy.
I hate them. I hate so much.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty good. And then doing this segment, I learned a trick where if you take the headline of an Inside the Magic article, you don't click on it, just take the headline, paste it into a new Google search, it will give you the summary of the relevant portion of that article in just the Google summary.
Mm.
So you don't have to read anything. You don't have to look through anything. You don't have to click on it yet. You don't have to see any ads. You don't have to support them in any way, which I love. Okay, here's another one.
You know, the thing is, it's not cute anymore. It's not cute. Right. They're liars.
Oh, yeah.
They're liars. These are actually, I've decided, these aren't just like tricky people. These are nefarious, bad people. That's what they are.
Oh, yeah. They're probably, you know, people talk about Disney adults being bad Disney fans. No, these people are awful. Okay, here's another one. Guests banned from Disneyland for sneaking in illegal substance.
Okay. Well, that seems like
guest banned from Disneyland for sneaking in illegal substance. What do you think the substance was? What do you think an illegal substance is that would be worth a ban?
It was crack.
That also is just piques your interest enough because they don't mention it in the title, right?
They don't mention anything in the title.
Yeah. Booze. They snuck in booze. That's the illegal substance.
They got banned?
I think they got a ban from Disneyland. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't read it. But
man, how did they catch that?
During the security check, I guess. I mean, you know what? So like these people, they'll bring in like rum in a Coke bottle and some security guard probably smelled it because it probably spilled or who knows? I have no idea. But this is the kind of thing that happened.
Yeah. Well, Bev better be careful. I feel like she's always up to something.
I know. I meant to send that to her and be like, they're looking. They're looking for you.
I have friends that I don't think they've ever walked into the park without something disguised as like something like
something it, else.
It's constant.
It's a shoe, but it's
the
really
only
a
way
cake.
They go.
Okay, here's another one. This one was really good. Security called following hostage situation on Disneyland ride. Hostage situation. Now, you would think, Jeremy, if there was truly a hostage situation in Disneyland, that you would have heard about it from other people, other news outlets, Orange County Register, for example, KCLA,
NBC.
Right. Actual news organizations.
Is that a scoop from Inside the Magic? That's the thing. If you've never heard it before, only Inside the Magic, and it's ridiculous. It's not true.
Well, not only is it a scoop by Inside the Magic, but every other news outlet goes, well, they did such a good job. We're not even going to repeat it. That let them have that.
Yeah,
they get it.
Because that's how the media works. Where's David Muir?
Okay, here's what happened. Security cast members escorted a terrified and furious guest away from Pixar Pal Around at Disneyland Resort after her family reportedly took her on the ride against her will. So I would imagine it's something along the lines of, hey, let's go on this roller coaster. No, it's fine. You'll love it. And then they get in the swinging thing and she's terrified. She's freaking out. Then security's called to deal with her and she gets off the ride and that's it. Hostage situation? That's
no,
what
it's a hostage situation.
God, man.
I feel like a hostage.
I feel like a hot dog. This one was sent to me by a listener called Willie. He actually DM'd me, slid into my DMs with this one. Just a picture of it.
Your DMs?
Yeah. Hundreds evacuate Disney Resort in terror at 3 a.m.
Oh, God.
Hundreds evacuate Disney Resort. I don't know why I insist on repeating these, because they're so like, I feel like you need to go through them two or three times to try to digest the mental gymnastics. Like, what are these people trying to do? It's like solving. It's like a, you know what these headlines should be? They should be in the friggin' New York Times app as one of the games you can play, as one of like the brain teasers. Like, what is this? What did they do? What actually happened? Was there terror? Where would it have been?
I'm assuming someone pulled the fire alarm.
There was a fire alarm at the Pop Century Hotel in Walt Disney World. It went off for 15 minutes before being turned off. And there's footage. Would you like to see the terror, the abject terror and horror that was being perpetrated on the guests of the Pop Century?
I'm sure it's terror. They're just like, oh, where do you want us to go?
Here it is. There's two people standing and the camera pans over. There's four people standing. There's two people walking away and everyone is just very casually walking. Everyone's outside. The alarm is very obnoxious, as it should be, right? That's what alarms are meant to do. But that was it. There was no terror. There's nobody fleeing. There's evacuation because you have to. But by all accounts of whoever was there, it was normal. It was fine. People were, you know, rightfully irritated. But it was a false alarm. And that was it. But
that's the thing. In the course of all of our lives, I've been in a hotel, not at Disney, but I've been in a hotel that in the middle of the night, you wake up and it's like, oh, we have to go outside.
Yeah.
It's happened. It happens in the apartment building I live in. Like, sometimes that happens. You're used to it. It's Pop Century is a three-story building. No one's getting stuck in there. You can just walk out
in terror. And they link this friggin' video in their article. So quite frequently, what Inside the Magical do is refute their own headlines within their article, because you're right. I mean, they just ultimately don't really care. So that one was a good one. Bless Willie for giving me that one. But here's one that's sort of making the rounds, and every once in a while, like a bad AI, one of these articles escapes into the wild.
I know what you're talking about, because this did get out there.
It's around, baby. It is around.
And I got so excited.
Inside the Magic, Snow White star Rachel Zegler dropped from film. Will be recast. And then, of course, Disney Dining, who is the sister company of Inside the Magic. They're owned by the same people. They are reported on by the same people. Disney Dining says Snow White star axed from movie after backlash.
That's a real... How did they sort of work food into that article somehow? Your Disney Dining.
Yeah, I know, right? Disney Dining. We report on Disney Dining and stars getting axed from movies after woke backlash, cancel culture.
But it doesn't even make sense. The movie's coming out in 6 months. Like, they're not reshooting it. That's the thing, is like, no one would believe that. It's so stupid. There's no possibility that is getting recast. Like, how could you ever think that?
Right. Well, I think what they're doing, and see, here's the other side of Inside the Magic, is they're really smart about it. Because what they're doing is they're playing on the fact that she's making the rounds. There's a bunch of, a bunch of kerfuffle about her in the media. Then they go, oh, well, let's just pretend that she's going to be fired from this movie. Let's write it in a certain way so people will click on it, because just like you said, well, how are they going to do that? Why would they do that? It's coming out in 6 months. What, are they going to reshoot it? Well, now, so you've already asked questions, and this article staring you in the face going, I can potentially solve all of your problems. I could potentially answer these questions for you. And even though you know in your heart that it is all bullshit, you click on it anyway, and then you find out that it's just not true.
Solve all my problems.
So
when I'm reading a, when I'm that close to reading a Disney Dining article, here's my problem. My problem is that I've been on the crapper too long. I have to put the phone down and get out of the bathroom. That's my problem at that moment. Okay. I'm never reading these articles unless that's where all of this reading gets done. So That's my problem at that moment in time.
Okay. So you want to know what's going on?
Yeah. Tell me.
Rachel Zegler was dropped. The movie she was dropped from, she was dropped from a movie, but it was not Snow White as implied by the headlines. It was Paddington 3. The trequel, I guess they call it now, to the Paddington live action movie. And she was dropped because of the SAG-AFTRA strike. She was on strike and they just recast her anyways. I don't think they even shot anything. And so they just moved on without her. And many people online were rightly assuming that this was referencing her being dropped from Snow White because it's in the title, right? Snow White dropped from film. It's in the same sentence. You don't change the subject of what you're talking about. There's not another noun, you know what I mean, in there. There's not another movie referenced. And so everyone thought, well, because of the PR faux pas that we covered, you know, before, she's being dropped because Disney didn't like it or whatever. So yeah, it's just Paddington 3. Paddington the Bear 3 is being, she will not be in that movie. That was it.
That's right. All. Who cares?
Yeah, right. And then you have this from Inside the Magic. You have another one. Snow White live action. Oh, wait, excuse me. Disney officially fires Rachel Zegler from Snow White live action, report claims. The report is them. Like they have no, there's nothing, there's no report. So Snopes, who can probably make a living reporting on Inside the Magic content, released an article about this, and their rating on this is unfounded. And here's the background of it. On September 25th, the Disney fan blog site known as Inside the Magic published an article with the headline, Disney officially fires Rachel Zegler from Snow White live action, report claims. The live action film Snow White is slated for a theatrical release on March 22nd, 2004. As for the headline from Inside the Magic, 12 paragraphs into the article, the story simply... I love that Snopes is just going like, eventually we got there. The story simply cites a lone TikTok user's video as its evidence for the alleged firing. This is the report. Right. It's a TikTok video.
Yeah.
Four paragraphs later, the author of the article wrote that, quote, there is no source stated for this information in the video, so it is still a reported statement and not fully confirmed.
Yeah, it's not even partially confirmed. It's nothing.
Right.
It's a TikTok.
In other words, while it's entirely possible that Ziegler or another actor in the upcoming live-action Snow White film could be replaced in the future, we have yet to find any demonstrable evidence to support this rumor. We reached out to Disney to ask about Ziegler's role in Snow White, and we'll update this article, blah, blah, blah. The TikTok video cited by Inside the Magic has been viewed more than 2.4 million times. The clip came from a user whose bio showed no signs of being an entertainment journalist, a gossip columnist, or anything else that might lend credibility to the statements being made. The context of why Zegler would purportedly be removed from Snow White was this. In the recent months, she's drawn some backlash, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they just give a bunch of context. So I don't know, man. I just found that very funny that Snopes is like, okay, let's just step in here and let's insult the stupid website a few times. And then let's get to the bottom of it, which was a TikTok. And even in the article, Inside the Magic says, oh, it's not really fully confirmed. Well, yeah, because it's just like the story about the kidnapping. One person, you don't even bother following up with that person to see. And then, you know, they said it when in their response to me, they're like, they didn't even reach out. They don't even know the context. They don't even know what happened. They didn't even reach out.
Yeah, they're just scanning.
Yeah. So that's what's going on in clickbait news this week, Jer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it just?
Guests will have to wait on this spectacular that's late for its opening date. That's the rarely attempted triple rhyme.
Whoa.
So, you know. Well, Jason, we discussed here in our recap of Destination D in our last episode that Disney has finally announced a name and an opening date for the new nighttime spectacular coming to Epcot at Walt Disney World. The new show, Lumineth, The Symphony of Us, will debut on December 5th. But this announcement kind of left some people a little surprised and scratching their heads with that opening date. Because, well, those of us who have been watching the slow construction weren't surprised that the date was pushed out a little bit. Because it's like, well, those they're still drilling these pylons in. Like, they're not going to suddenly start... Usually you get a few nights of like testing and then the videos of the testing from people staying at the boardwalk. So I'm like, this thing's not happening anytime soon. Then they just, they announced that it's going to be on December 5th. But we people, some people were surprised because back a year ago when Disney mercifully announced the end of the much maligned Harmonious, they indicated a new show would debut at Epcot as part of the Disney 100 celebrations. Well, those started last week on the 22nd. So clearly no show is there because the interim show Epcot Forever is still running. So why isn't Lumineth opening until December 5th? Why isn't it opening with the Disney 100 celebrations? Well, WDW News Today is reporting a rumor this week that was corroborated by at Sir Braden of Mickey Views that cites sources close to the project indicating that the primary delay is coming from the music soundtrack to the show.
Interesting. That's interesting.
According to these sources, Disney execs were unhappy with the score by show composer Pinar Toprak, who also worked with Disney on Harmonious. So
I feel like he had like a two nighttime spectacular deal. You know, like a two record deal, but it's, all right, we did the Harmonious. Let's see, what else do you got? Tim Pack or whatever his name was.
I think it actually might be a lady, but I'm not 100% sure, but I kind of remember seeing this person when they announced.
I apologize for misgendering them.
And sources have indicated that 70% of the show is being redone.
Oh.
So I don't know if you have a composer who writes a show called Harmonious that everyone hates and you have to get rid of, maybe don't have them write the next one too.
I wonder if these brainlets in Imagineering are like, oh, people didn't like Harmonious because of the barges. I wonder if they blame it on the barges. Like, and that's it. Everything else was fine, but we should get rid of the barges. Everything's fine. Like, they don't know because I feel like they can't really see the forest for the trees, but in the reverse, you know what I mean?
It's hard to admit that your painting sucks. It's easier just to say the frame and the canvas are terrible.
Yeah, the lighting was atrocious. Painter. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not your painting that sucks. It's just that stupid frame and canvas you have.
Yeah.
Well, at Sir Braden weighed in on Twitter saying the execs have ordered the redoing of almost the entire score at huge expense. He continued, usually when execs don't like a score, it happens at the point when they haven't sent it to a full orchestra to be recorded. Usually they do a digital computerized demo. So you play it for the execs. It's like, you like this? This is the gist. If they have major changes, they can change it. The difference here is they already paid to have an orchestra record the score. It was done. So redoing it now means that they will pay what normally costs to record two fireworks shows because they already had it done once and now they have to rewrite it and send it back to the orchestra to record again. These real life symphony recording sessions are not cheap. They cost hundreds of thousands of dollars just for one or two takes.
Sure.
According to Mickey Views, this puts the musical budget for Lumineth alone, just the musical budget, in excess of $1.5 million. That's completely outside of the cost of designing and building new infrastructure, which they've also done. And that's on top of the huge investment in Harmonious that they just scrapped because it was so bad by the same person.
You know, I fully expect Disney to just, when this thing opens, just to come out and be like, okay, there's a fee to watch this because it's the story of us. We're in it together. So if we need to shoulder this burden, you need to shoulder this burden. You need to help us pay for this. It's us. We're together. This is our story. Symphony. You're in it. You're in it. Got to help us.
Maybe it means this. Maybe Disney is meaning them. Maybe it's the story of them.
How chaotic it is.
It sucks. We're a disaster. We can't seem to do anything. I do think it's kind of good that they are at least not saying, well, whatever, who cares, just show it. Like, at least they're like, wait a minute. But I also don't trust Disney's judgment and what makes a good show anymore. So I don't know. Like, these execs, I mean, it was JPEG who said Harmonious should be a Disney concert. Well, it sucked. So I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily trust them. I mean, we had an amazing show over at Animal Kingdom called Rivers of Light. It was no IP. It was all a whole original score. And then the exec said, no, let's crowbar Lion King and stuff into it. So then they changed the show. Then it totally dropped in popularity. And then they just got rid of the show. So
heaven forbid they change it. You know, like here with that, you go, if you're going to change something that's popular, if you're going to crowbar IP into it, you say it's a limited time and you add it in. That way you can take it out and put it back together the way it was. And that's right. How you solve that. When you're saying that they played it for the execs and the execs were like, what is this? I had that same thought too. What do they know? I mean, I know that everybody worked in the parks and they've all done the thing and whatever. But at this point now, their brains are so focused on the entirety of their department rather than, is this good or not? I would just leave it up to the friggin' Imagineers. Who's in charge of the project? Is the music good? Yeah, cool. Let me hear it. It's not really my thing, but if you think it's good and it'll go with it, it's your thing. I would never presume to be like, well, the music is not really.
Well, the problem is you can't trust anyone. The Imagineers aren't coming up with anything good. Oh, yeah. They don't know how to do anything. They suck. And then the executives are the ones they greenlit knocking down half of the center of the park, building Moana, which looks just like Animal Kingdom. It's water fountains. I've heard nothing from anyone who matters. I've not heard anything good. Look what they've done. Look what they've done at the park.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to trust the executives who greenlit that hot mess. I don't trust them. And then I see what Imagineering's pumping out. It's complete garbage. So I don't know that I trust anybody in this situation. I just get to hate everybody. Now, this Toprak is also responsible for the new Epcot anthem that has accompanied the renovations and updates the park has received. And it's awful also. It's actually not that bad. It's just a little boring. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to, actually.
I came with music, as I am often likely to do. Number one.
Okay, I like it. I like it. It's very sort of filler. It feels like it's leading somewhere. It feels like we're going on an adventure. We're going musically to another, like a build or maybe a beat drop or something like that. It's okay. It's not awesome, but it's like if you took pieces of Moana and Pandora and ran them together, that's the sound that you would get.
Yeah, if you take boring and mix it with stank and uninspired, you get that. Show.
Yeah.
So I would like to, you just heard that, because there are elements of that in Harmonious. That's actually kind of how Harmonious started, and you knew you were in trouble. Like, here's their big fireworks show, and it starts with that yowling.
Well, I wonder if it's a callback to Frozen, because they do a lot of yowling in Frozen.
There's a lot of yowling.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to know what Epcot used to sound like, let's listen to number two. This is the theme that we had previous to that.
I mean, it's much more engaging. That's for sure.
It makes me excited. It doesn't put me to sleep. It's not a trance.
It makes me want
to go to a theme park.
Here's the other one again. So where is this played?
They play it during the light show.
Okay.
But it, like, they wove it into harmonious.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with it, I guess. It doesn't have to be the same, but I don't have as big of an attachment at Epcot.
I don't think it's terrible. It just feels like, it just feels generic. It feels like everything else they do. Yeah. Just totally not unique, totally without inspiration. It doesn't excite me. I'm not like, let's get into this park. Hmm. It's like, nah. So I had you play Legacy, which was the theme of the park from probably around 2003, I want to say. I think maybe right after the Millennium Celebration, we got that. But then let's hear the original theme to Epcot. We've Just Begun to Dream. This was the first 20 or so years of the park. Number three.
And now, NBC Nightly News with your anchor, Kirk Stankfield. Rachel Zegler on weather.
Oh, that's very dated, man. Come on.
And here's your host, Mickey Rooney.
Good.
It is good, so but good. It's very time capsule. It's very old. It's very old.
I just don't. I get it. Like, it's old, but like, they updated it once, and like, when they updated it in 2003 to Legacy,
yeah,
it was a great song. But why is it just this watered down, boring crap?
It started here, and then with Legacy, it came up a few notches. It's still on the same. Same vibe, same thread, but it's a little bit more updated and a little bit more progressive, I guess. I don't know, classical, whatever. None of those things don't mean the same thing. And then the new one came, and it's you're down levels now. You're like below the intensity and the, I don't know, imagination, I guess, stank of the other two. It is odd. I don't mind it, but compared to the other ones, it's not as exciting. It's okay.
Yeah, and this tote rack, I want them to go away because first you ruin the anthem, then you ruin Harmonious, and now you're going to put your stink on Luminous too. Like, just go. Can you just go? Just stop. Stop ruining this park with your terrible music.
Toprak, more like no prak.
Well, people are weighing in. At Frank Makes Stuff tweeted quick.
What
someone get Gavin Greenaway and Don Dorsey on the phone. I hearted. I liked it. Because I agree with it. Triple Z 87 says, is a new composer joining the project? Sorry, Triple Z. No. And at J Radical, who's always good for an interesting tweet and a like of my tweet, says, I'm honestly not surprised. Harmonious had the most boring milquetoast Disney score ever. And Pinar's Epcot anthem is boring as well. I don't understand why they don't go and get older collaborators to do said music like Bruce Broughton or Paul Leonard Morgan. So I agree with you, Radical. I agree with you, Triple Z and Frank. How about that?
I love it.
So that's what's happening. They've delayed it. They're allegedly fixing it. Here's the thing. I know I'm sound negative, but I actually, it is my sincerest hope that it will be good. I want to like it. I want to go there and want to stay for the fireworks.
But for the past
4 years, I've decided that it's more pleasing to me to skip the traffic and get home to my porch to have a martini, then stay in that park and watch these horrible shows. They're awful.
That is the thing that we do complain a lot on this show specifically. But it is out of an abundance of frustration because things used to be good. We know that Disney can do good things.
Yeah,
we are not looking at it with rose-colored glasses like a lot of people do. Just because it has Disney on it doesn't mean it's good. That's just a fact. So there, I agree with you.
Okay, that's my story. Delays.
Okay, perfect. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I have a couple news stories to get through, some restaurant rankings to talk about. I thought that might be fun. So hang on, everybody. It's Ears Up In Depth, and we'll be right back.
In Depth, reporting Disney news that's probably not made up.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for sticking around. Okay, I have a couple things, but you have another story, so let's, yes. I'll do, this is a funny one. Knott's Berry Farm makes fun of Disneyland's Fantasmic Fire during their Halloween show this season. Video captured by theme park blog Mouse Info shows a prop dragon head on fire during the show The Hanging, uncancelled. The skit is a reference to the Maleficent prop dragon catching fire during a performance of Disneyland's Fantasmic in April, which I guess now that is just canceled for a while longer, I think. During the performance, one actor asks the crowd if they got the prop from Anaheim, and they later mention Disneyland by name. The show also poked fun at World of Color, which occurs at Disneyland California Adventure Park. Performances of Fantasmic were abruptly halted after a fire destroyed the Maleficent Dragon prop during the show's finale. And then previously scheduled performances were taken off shortly thereafter. It's expected to make a return in spring 2024. So that was it. Just a real fast, like Knott's Berry Farm, you know, kind of trolling a little bit, doing a little bit of what Universal does.
Well, they're coming back. They when that happened, they took, from what I understand, they took the pyrotechnics out of World of Color. I think to make sure everything was sort of safe. And now I saw recently that the pyrotechnic effects in World of Color have now returned. So they seem to have sorted that out.
Oh, well, that's good.
But I don't think it's the traditional version of World of Color. I think they're showing some other World of Color 1.
Yes, 1. They changed it. It's one. It's us.
Do you think
it's
Pinar Toprak have anything to do with that thing?
I hope so. That's
I haven't seen it. Everything's one. World of Color, one. Luminous, the story of Spaceship Earth, our shared story. Shut up. Get this off my shoulders. I don't want to be the story. I want to go watch something. It's not me.
They are kind of leaning into these, I don't want to say esoteric, but they're kind of leaning into these like... these story devices of drawing the crowd in where make a part of the story. Right. Instead of just making something entirely, you know, World of Color, watch things go boom. Perfect. That would be great.
Yeah.
World of Color. Let's throw stuff at each other. Something, I don't know, something fun. Yeah. Anyway.
If it's the cost of your Disney World trip, you've been trying to shave. Here are some new ways Disney's helping you to save.
Oh, here we go, baby. Positivity coming in, dripping through.
This first one is for Florida residents. So our listeners from Florida should pay close attention. In early 2024, Florida residents can save up to 30% off on most stays, Sunday through Thursday nights, from January 1st through February 22nd, and most nights, February 25th through March 24th.
It's pretty good.
And if you'll be there on Friday or a Saturday, you can save up to 20% on resorts those nights because those are a bit more popular. So we're not giving out as much discount. Disney says the number of rooms allocated for this offer is limited, so you'll want to book soon to take advantage. Also, the following are not part of this offer: 3-bedroom villas, Tower Studios at Disney's Riviera Resort, cabins at Copper Creek, bungalows at the Polynesian, or the campsites at Fort Wilderness. And you'll need proof of your Florida residency at check-in. So you can save a bit of money if you are a Florida resident. But it's not only Florida residents who can save. Disney Visa card holders have access to their own offers. You are a Disney Visa card holder like me. You are eligible for up to 35% off hotel stays on select nights between January 9th and March 24th of 2024.
Is that just for Disney World or?
This is Disney World.
Okay.
For example, a non-discounted standard view room at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort for a four-night stay in January would normally cost you $244.25 per night plus tax, but with the Disney Visa discount, you will save just short of $70 per night, bringing the rate down to $175.70 plus tax.
That's not bad, dude.
Good for a moderate resort.
At Disney, we're a Disney thing too? Yeah, man.
Yes, and Coronado Springs is a pretty nice resort. The Disney card holder must be staying in the room and the card must be used to pay the deposit at the time of booking. Those are your caveats. So card holders, go nuts. But that's not all.
Oh,
if you are a Disney Plus subscriber, which I am not, you can save also. Currently, those with a Disney Plus subscription can save 35% on Disney hotel rooms on select nights.
What?
Coming up right away between October 22nd and November 2nd, as well as November 26th through December 25th. That's surprising. All the way up to Christmas. That's a pretty busy week.
Yeah.
Most Disney World hotels are included in this, but a Savannah View room at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge is the whopper here. You can save $300 per night, taking the cost of a four-night stay down to $524.55 per night plus tax, down from $807 per night plus tax. So there's quite a savings there.
Jeez, that's now, cool.
My last, yeah. So, I mean, get booking, people. If you follow, I mean, everybody but me, I think, is a Disney Plus subscriber. So I don't know why you guys aren't all on the phone.
We are, but not for much longer. I'll tell you that.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. Well, they're raising the prices, man. And we don't watch it enough. It's not worth it.
Yeah. You can't charge more and give less. Didn't they learn that at Disney World? That's why they have all these discounts.
Apparently not.
And the last one is open to everyone.
Hey, here we go.
As long as you're willing to book early. If you book by December 15th, you can save up to 30% on stays most nights, February 25th through March 24th. They must think that early March is going to be a tough time. everything's eligible then. And save up to 25% on stays most Sunday to Thursday nights, January 9th through February 22nd. But by the way, if you don't book by December 15th and you wait until the 16th, you can still get savings, just less of a savings. So instead of 25, they'll go to 20, though it drops. So basically, anyone can get a discount if you just call them.
If you believe.
If you book. Which leads me to my thesis, my hypothesis.
Here we go.
What's the story?
Right.
Why is everything 20 to 30 off for basically all of January and February and March? That's a really busy time in Florida. Most snowbirds go to Florida after Christmas or for Christmas and stay during the coldest time of the year, which is through the middle, the end of March. So the golf courses are packed. Everything's packed. It's high season. Why is Disney giving 30% discounts? There's problem. I'm telling you, they've got problems because they know what their forward bookings look like. And if they were good, they wouldn't be offering discounts left and right like this. And by the way, they're disguising it. They make it seem like it's not to everybody. These are limited. But essentially, if you have Disney Plus or a Disney Visa or a Florida resident or are just a person willing to book before or after December 15th,
yes,
you will get some sort of discount. So that's everyone in the world.
Right. And if you have all those, you get in free. I think that's what needs to happen.
So I
you know what? Looking at the stock, I mean, it's been flirting $79-$80 for the past couple of days. So I wonder if it's just a stock bump where if you you start booking, then they start getting positive cash flow. Not that they're negative, but you know what I mean? They get more. I don't know how it works, man. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. They can report more numbers. They can see, you look on the calendar, things are more sold out. There's more demand. Yeah, I couldn't tell you. It's very interesting, though, you know, because they are all about raising prices and trying to just reach into your wallet and print the money that you have in your bank. That's all they're trying to do constantly. And then they give you out these discounts. Seems weird.
It's surprising to me because it should be it should be a very busy time of year for them. The first week of January usually is quiet, although even that has been proven wrong the last few years. January has been crazy because you've also got at the end of the first week of January is marathon weekend and everyone goes to that.
Okay.
But think of all the things that happened during this time period. Martin Luther King, President's Day, midwinter school breaks. And then also just what I said about the weather and the snowbirds, Florida gets packed. I don't know what's going on other than bad business. Charging more and giving less. Now they're having to charge less and they're doing it in the form of hotels.
And they're still giving less. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know who won't give you less things is our friend Sully at the 21st Amendment, because summer is here. It's actually it's fall. It's actually fall, everybody. Pretend I just said that. And you can probably still find some great, fantastic beers out there. Hell or High Watermelon Wheat. Or you have the Hell or High Mango. That's always an excellent one. Either way, they're both brewed with an American wheat beer base, and you have real watermelon juice or real mango, creating a refreshing, fruity, and quenching beer wherever you are, whatever temperature it is out there. It's weird. You know, it's been like mid-high 70s around here, but it's still like warm-ish. It's very weird weather right now. But these beers help us through the summer and then easing into fall. Because in California, you really just kind of ease into the seasons. You know what I mean? And if you're out here at all in the California Bay Area, be sure and stop in at the 21st Amendment's San Francisco Brew Pub at 563 2nd Street, just two blocks from where baseball is played. And also be sure and visit their brewery tap room just across the bay in San Leandro with an outdoor beer garden. All right, Jeremy, you ready for the 10 worst Disney World restaurants according to Yelp?
Oh, worst?
Yeah, the 10 worst.
I don't know. This is an interesting thing because people always are talking about the food at Disney. And like, what's a good place? What's a bad place? And to me, all the food is the same.
Interesting.
There's no good. There's no bad. It's just food.
Yeah, I tell you, we didn't really do like high dining when we were there. But I don't remember. I remember the absolute awful food. But I don't remember the food being good at all. It was just sort of it existed. I couldn't tell you. You know, yeah, the bad meals stuck out to me. Yeah, it was weird where, you know, here at least in Disneyland, we have a lot of places you can go get really good, you know, bites and sips, as they say. But apparently
I think it's the same there. Park food.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it is theme park food, but I think that's why, like over here, at least there's a lot of, you know, strong flavors, right? You got the popcorn, but all the different flavors, or you have the micheladas, or you have the, you know, I don't know, whatever. Apparently, you have over 200 restaurants to choose from in Disney World.
Sure, and some of it uses the food grown in Living with the Land at Epcot, an original attraction that's amazing.
Yeah, Grandpa, we know. Let's get you back to bed. Okay, so first of all, what surprised me about this article is that people still use Yelp.
Sure, I use Yelp.
You do?
Yeah, if I want to see how good a restaurant is.
Oh, I don't do that.
Well, you don't go to restaurants either. Suppose you don't have a real reason to use it.
I don't lay in my bed and look at where I would go if I could. Right. Number one, I'm interested to know if you've been to these and what you think. Nine Dragons Restaurant. Okay.
Yes, I've been there.
Apparently,
it's average Chinese food.
451 reviewers on Yelp rated it 3.4 stars out of 5. One reviewer mentions, quote, Nine Dragons isn't particularly bad. But because there are so many culinary options to try out, you are doing yourself a disservice if you eat here. Please try any other place in Epcot.
I kind of agree with that because it's just Chinese food. Not like it's better than China Panda down the street. It's just Chinese food. I mean, it's maybe a tick above, but they rush you. Having a nice Chinese sit down Chinese. I like it to go to a nice Chinese restaurant, sit down and have a meal. It's sort of a novelty because I feel like so many people associate with Chinese food with just like takeaway.
Yes.
And you sort of expect that here, but you basically are getting average Chinese food rushed. Well,
yeah. Like it blew my mind the day that I realized that the Chinese food that I grew up eating that we're talking about here is Americanized versions of like Szechuan food that like Chinese people actually eat. It's kind of weird to me. I never really realized that. And then now it's like, this is really, everything has a sauce and everything is just, it's just different. Number two, Sasagula Float Works and Food Factory. That's 128 reviewers, gave it a 3.4 out of 5. One reviewer notes typical resort food court options. Some favorites throughout our stay were the gumbo, burgers, and pizza. I have a hard, fast rule.
Is this that
no
Port
pizza?
Orleans?
I don't know. No pizza at a buffet. You just don't do it. You're never gonna do it. The jambalaya seemed like it was straight from a Zatarain's box with a few pieces of meat. Not so good. I got news for you. At any restaurant on a big resort like this, you are getting box food. It probably is Zatarain's box. You know, whatever U.S. food is delivering, you'd be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't. How much food is at these quick service places is made from a box. That's being delivered from a truck, from a company. It's not just made. They're not in the back making jambalaya from scratch. Not happening. Anyway, there you go.
By the way, I have to interrupt you. And Brian in the chat says he's literally been using Yelp during the show.
Of course he has.
Yeah, is he reviewing the show? Are we on Yelp?
I hope so, man. I hope we get 2 stars on Yelp. Number 3, Maria and Enzo's Ristorante.
I have not eaten there.
Okay, that's another 3.4 out of 5. One reviewer says, the place itself is beautiful, but the food is not very good. It is extremely expensive and not worth the time. The server was pretty good, getting us what we needed constantly. Well, yeah, that's what servers do, dog. Pizzafari.
Yes, I've eaten there.
Okay, would you recommend it?
It's just pizza. It's average pizza at Animal Kingdom. It's quick service takeaway pizza. Like, you're not in Little Italy.
3.4 stars out of 5. The food is not as good as it looks. Cheese is loose on the pizza. I don't know why that comment really makes me laugh, but it just, the incomplete sentence.
Why? And why would you even review these places?
That this is what I'm saying. Who would go on Yelp and go, Pizzafari, cheese is loose on the pizza? Sounds like a code word for something, man. The kids' menu is perfect for a toddler. Nobody older. And sorry, you're not, whatever. And seating is hard to get. Hope you see this as a warning to what might come if you step through those doors. That's a threat, sir. You're threatening me, and I don't appreciate it.
Well, here's the other thing. When I am looking for something to eat in a theme park,
yeah,
I use Yelp if I'm booking something like a work dinner and like it's up to me to pick the restaurant.
Yes.
Or like I'm in a new city.
Yes.
But like if I'm going to grab a slice at Pizzafari, I'm not checking Yelp. I'm willing to risk it. I'm willing to risk it not being good so I don't have to look at my phone even more.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. Number 5, Backlot Express. Been there?
No, I don't know what that is.
Well, it's not a restaurant, I'll tell you that. One review says 3.4 out of 5. So I'm noticing a trend here. One reviewer says Backlot Express pretty accurately encapsulates what I picture when I think of theme park fast food. Menu is pretty basic. Think fries, chicken tenders, and burgers. First of all, don't ever tell me what to think.
I have eaten here.
The restaurant is huge and can clearly handle large volumes of guests during the busy season. Like, okay, this is still this person's review. I had a bit of time. This is why review sites will forever be worthless to me. It's because you get stuff like this. You get filler, like someone's writing a write-up for the LA friggin' Times. I had a bit of time to kill between Lightning Lane reservations, so I stopped in here for a quick lunch. I got the kids' chicken tenders meal, which came with fries. I added on a side of cheese sauce, which elevated my meal. Liquid gold.
Oh, God.
I just... Vomitization, man. And then it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, and also, this isn't a review. A review shouldn't be about your schedule.
Correct.
This should be about what they served and how it tasted. I don't care that you had 2 Lightning Lanes.
And it was pretty stuffy inside the restaurant. I don't know, man.
It's like open air. What are they talking about?
Number 6, Restaurantosaurus.
Can I just tell you, none of these are restaurants.
What are they? Like,
I thought you were, well, I mean, Maria and Enzo's is a restaurant in 9 Dragons, but
all
of these things that you've been listing lately are all like quick service. Like you go up to a counter and then you bring a tray back to a picnic table. Like that's what these are. These aren't like,
I love it.
You're not like, where's like the Brown Derby or, you know, Beer Garden?
Well,
or
these are
Chefs de France.
These are the worst reviewed. So,
You
know, there's that. And I will say on the Backlot Express underneath it on the logo, it says restaurant right underneath it. So I don't know what you're saying.
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong place.
Have you been to Restaurantosaurus?
No. Oh, I think I have, but it's just hot dogs.
These people, 109 people felt it necessary to review it. Gave it 3.4 out of 5. One reviewer mentions, quote, dined here with my fam of 6. Dined. First of all, that's too many people. You shouldn't have 6 people in your family. That's too much. During last Disney Animal Kingdom visit during COVID. Okay. Classic diner food. Sandwiches, salads, hot dogs, burgers, desserts, etc. It's quick service where food was ordered via an app. Well, yeah, but that's your COVID restriction stuff, that sounds like. Variety comes at the expense of quality. Not terrible, but not great. I don't know. Just when you're justifying the cost in your review, you have too much time on your hands. You know? Whatever. Fairfax Fair.
Yeah, this is another quick service. That is it's over in Hollywood Studios.
There's a picture of it. Yeah, there's no table. It's literally just people queued up, and it's there. Yeah, anyway. 73 people, 3.4 out of 5. One reviewer noted, sounded like a fun food concept and opted for the soba noodles and added the plant-based chicken. For starters, I received 3 tiny pieces of chicken that I could have eaten in one bite. When I bit into the noodles, they were disgustingly sweet and oversauced. I tried mixing it, thinking all the sauce was at the bottom. But when I tilted the bowl, it looked like I poured out half a bottle of sauce. I'm really disappointed and don't recommend this place at all.
Yeah, don't order soba noodles from a takeaway stand in Hollywood Studios.
Also,
what are you doing?
Don't eat 3 pieces of chicken in one bite. Chew your food, homie. Il Molino.
Okay, so this is interesting. I've eaten at Il Molino many times. Il Molino is actually a New York restaurant that opened a location in the Walt Disney World Swan. And Il Molino in New York and in Orlando is terrible. It's the worst pasta.
3.3 out of 5. Excuse me, we're getting worse. 458 reviews. One reviewer said, "This place was just okay. My wife's pasta dish was cold. The branzino I ordered was cooked well, but was dripping in oil. Way too much oil. It ruined the dish." I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. The bread basket was good.
I will tell you that Il Molino is a good place to go for a drink. And if you want to have like small apps in the bar, great place for that. But don't get any like don't get their spaghetti and meatballs or anything like that. Like, it's not good.
Number 9, Hollywood and Vine. You been there?
Yes. Also that's more of a quick service.
That's another 3.3. One reviewer summed it up when they said, quote, "Overpriced food branded as a character dining experience. $55 plus tax and tip for adults, and there's no buffet, so you have to select from pre-selected options. I made the mistake of ordering the beef tenderloin, which comes with mashed potatoes and green beans. The beef was flavorless, chewy, and tasted like a pure cow flavor." Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but beef comes from a cow. You don't want it. What do you want it to taste like? Friggin' carrots?
Yeah, that's a weird comment.
Yeah.
This haddock tastes like fish. Get it out of here.
The salad appetizer was flavorless.
Plus lettuce.
Okay. And number 10.
This lettuce tastes exactly like lettuce, and I'm so annoyed.
Yeah. Number 10.
Give me the other.
Lotus Blossom Cafe.
Lotus Blossom Cafe?
Yeah, it looks like a quick service. Like, you walk up.
That's Nine Dragons. It's the side of Nine Dragons.
Okay, there you go. 3.3. Oh, no.
That might be the kiosk across. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's all the same stuff.
One reviewer said, "I'm happy that I got the opportunity to try this hole in the wall at Epcot. I've got to say, ... this place isn't so bad. I got the chicken gyoza, ginger caramel ice cream, and lychee ice cream." So you got a fried food and 2 ice creams. That's the most Florida. Oh, God. The line was crazy long, but the gyoza was good. But the ice creams weren't my favorite. The menu was moderately priced at like $15 for basically everything. But the portions looked and whatever.
Actually, the gyoza there are very good and the sauce is very good. I actually like that. It's good if you have a hangover. Which I often do. I'm either making a hangover or suffering from one when I'm at Epcot. One or the other.
There you go. That's all I got, Jer. That's the news for today.
They're not going to do the 10 best?
No, I didn't have 10 best. I just had 10 worst.
Meh.
So what are you going to do, man?
Okay, maybe next time.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe next time.
It is kind of fun to talk about the worst restaurants at Disney World that aren't restaurants. Il Molino is a proper restaurant.
Yeah. The 2 or 3 of those weren't. It's also nice to talk about the 10 worst things that we didn't even come up with. It's not a list that we made. You know what I mean? So now no one can get mad at us.
Right. Now we're actually channeling other people's negativity into our own.
I thought it, but you know what's interesting though? If we want to put a positive spin on it, nothing was below 3.2 stars. So if your worst is average, it's pretty good. It can only go up.
Right.
Not bad. Anyway, Jeremy, thanks a lot very much for your hard work and dedication to this show. I appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for tuning into the show. If you want to know more about whatever's going on over here, we have a website, which is earsup-podcast.com. Go check it out. You get a link to our t-shirts. You get a link to, you know, our other shows like Scraping the Vault and Puny Pod and all these kind of things. I have a secret show to finish editing and drop. I just released a show. Was it yesterday or the day before? Our most recent show, main show, Mattel versus Hasbro, where Eric took us through the history of the Disney Princess line of toys and how that came to be, and the truckloads of money that Disney's making on those. It was actually really interesting. I had a lot of fun with that show. So check that out if you haven't already. And
hey, I got Halloween music coming to Spectral Radio next week.
So, yes.
October is upon us.
Yes, that's right. All right, looking forward to that. So tune in to spectralradio.us, you guys, and you get the latest of Disney music going on over there. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot.